What an awesome service we've already had. Carlos, you got me in the filskies, man. You made me cry already, so that's an awesome, that's impactful. And something you said that really is spoken to the weekend is there is a battle. There's a battle going on every day, whether it's television, whether it's even sometimes just our friends. But there is a battle against our very souls. And the way we took it this weekend was there's a battle going on for your mind. And that's your mind, your heart. And out of that is what we read in Proverbs is the actions of life. What's going on in your heart. So that's a fight we want to take on, and it does come through prayer. So thank you for that. Also, with this worship already, we have decided to follow Jesus. And that's an easy choice up front. And then you start to see the road he's going down, and you're like, that's a tough decision to follow through. And this year, more than any, it was a tough decision to have winter retreat. And I know it was a tough decision for parents to send their children or not to send their children. And we thank you for doing that, for walking out what we just sang, that you're following Christ. We thank you for that. Let me pray for us, and we're going to open it up, and I'm going to share a little bit about the weekend, and then we'll ask the kids to share. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you do go before us, that you have prepared the way. But God, you ask us to step out in faith and to follow you. God, we thank you for calling us, we believe, to this weekend. God, for making it clear where you did, God, in areas where we're still seeking you in, God. We pray that you just show yourself, that you use it for your glory. God, I pray that this brings you honor as we just remember this past weekend, God, and even on beyond that, what you're doing, Lord. We thank you. It's your precious name we pray. Amen. What an awesome weekend it was. I shared on Philippians, the book of Philippians, and really the crux, the climax of Philippians is chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, your heart, your attitude should be that is the same of Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. He made himself nothing, taking the likeness of human. He became obedient, even obedient to death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, to where at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, every knee on earth and under the earth will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And just what an awesome message that is. I'm going to read to you also Corinthians. This was the start of our weekend. 2 Corinthians verse 10. Chapter 10, verse 3 through 6 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's really the heart of the weekend, was just viewing our minds, viewing our hearts and saying, God, are we living up to what you've called us to do? Are we living in a manner worthy of the gospel? And we had an awesome time. I want to start by saying, like we just confessed, you know, if no one goes with me, I still will follow. Praise God, I don't have to go alone. I didn't have to go this weekend with 40 kids by myself. There's been 19 other leaders that stepped up this weekend. I'm so thankful for these leaders, just the way they've grown, the way they've served, the way I've seen God work in their lives and the way they worked in the students' lives this weekend. So let me just ask you guys, give them a round of applause for their hard work. And then I'm just going to open it up, which is this scary part. I'm going to open up to you guys because I have no idea what you're going to say. So if there's any students that feel, or even leaders that feel like they would like to express just what they saw God do and what God showed you through this weekend. Yeah, go ahead, Cart.
This weekend, on Friday, I noticed that a couple of people that were in my small group didn't well, they had a little bit of trouble praying, but through the weekend, I noticed that they had courage to do it, and I thought that that's how God worked through this weekend.
Awesome. It was probably Saturday night. These kids come in ready to worship. Friday night, we hit the ground running, and we get there 7 o'clock. We make it up to the chapel, 8 o'clock. We're ready to go. We have no sound system, which in this day and age and what we've been walking through here, we hit struggles. And we hit struggles at the start of every year. But these guys were just ready to worship. And so we just pulled out a guitar, and we made a lot of noise. And it was just an awesome time of worship and blessing. The next night, I come in, I said, who's ready to worship? And everyone's like, yeah, we're ready. I'm like, okay, who would like to pray to get started? And it's like, that's just where we are, you know? It's the same thing we talked about, expressing our hearts to God in worship. It's a lot easier when everyone's saying the same thing. We're all doing it together out loud. But prayer is the same thing. It's just expressing our heart to God in a loud way. So that's awesome. Thank you, Carter. Anyone else? Birthday boy.
I was just going to say, I probably thank Monica for making the video last night, and she only had one day to make it. Yeah.
That was sweet. You can get some bonus points for that. Yeah, thanks, Shelly.
I'm old. I brought this so I wouldn't forget what I was going to say. It was really neat when I was saying something to the guy that ran the camp, and I was thanking him just for what a great job they did and how they made us feel loved and welcomed. And he said, you guys have a great group of kids. And I said, yes, we do. And he said, no, you really, I've seen a lot of kids and been in ministry for a while, even though they're new to the camp. He said, and they just love each other well. And I said, yes, they do. Christ is in them, in their hearts, and it's evident. And so I didn't share that with you, but I wanted to tell you today that people are noticing how you treat and react to one another, and that is huge. And I loved this message this weekend about flipping our thinking. The devotion on Sunday morning was in Psalms 42, and God just really spoke to me in how he said that our hope is supposed to be in God. Not in Shelley, not in other people, but in God. And that we don't focus on the circumstances or our feelings or surroundings, but we focus on the truth that he's our God, our hope, and our salvation. And I just love being around these kids because they show me that. And it's infectious, and it's they're truly a gift. So thank you for letting this old lady come along with you.
What a truth. At several occasions, David, which is the camp director there at Camp Living Stones, made that point, like, man, these students, I'm used to seeing groups. And even at one point said, you guys aren't even a group, you're a ministry, which is cool to think that as students and as leaders, they see the purpose in the heart of God through what we're doing. So absolutely, thank you. It's hard to go. Carmen, was that? Was that a plea? That was like, don't look at me.
I don't really know where to start, being completely honest. This weekend, just winter retreat in general, really opens our eyes to God's presence in our life, unlike anything else. That one of the few opportunities I have to just throw away the many distractions and things I have to do. Like I brought schoolwork to a retreat and didn't do any of it. I couldn't. Just the biggest thing that I took away was, you know, we are God's. He's on our side. What do we have to fear? What can stand in our way if he is by our side? What can stop his love? Nothing can. That's the truth. And just, if anything, I've walked away with a newfound of trust and courage that when we go to him, when we admit our faults and we push forward, and just trust in him that it will be good. That's what I have to say.
Thanks. Ethan, if you don't know, he's new to the faith as of 3 years ago on a summer trip we took. We took him as really as a mission project ourselves on our mission trip, and he gave his life and heart to Christ then, and you have been such an impact to our youth, and we've seen God move, and even what you shared on the trip this weekend, we've just been encouraged that you would share just where you're at, and that we could come along and pray with you, encourage you. So you've been such an encouragement to us all, so thank you. Anyone else? Yep.
So, okay. God really showed me through recent years myself. I have been trying to mold myself into what other people want me to be, which is not what you're supposed to do. And God really showed me through devotion and through worship that I should let him mold me into what he wants me to be. Because if you look to man, like, that's not, you're never going to be enough for man, but you're always going to be enough for God, so.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to stay seated because I'm kind of wedged in, but. y'all don't move, it's fine. One thing I wanted to say is, well, two things. First of all, I really appreciate Jonathan and Monica's work beforehand and during. It's a lot of work to put on any kind of retreat, and then to stay separate and in room with kids all weekend and get up really early and go to bed really late. It's a lot, and we're grateful for y'all.
Jackson told you to say that, right?
Do what?
Jackson told you to say that.
Yeah, he made me do it. Because people can make me do things.
right.
The other thing I want to say, too, is, you know, we've all known and loved Jonathan for a long time, but just to watch him this weekend, like, the maturity level and the growth in the last handful of years and just watching him develop into the youth pastor has just been amazing. And watching him this weekend handle the Word of God so well and handle children and their drama and the good and the bad that comes with that. I was just very impressed and very aware that we are blessed to have such a fantastic youth pastor who is bowing before the Father and doing what God tells him to do. And I'm grateful for that. I did not necessarily have that growing up, and so it's good to watch. And then the last thing is that, you know, I walked up on some kids, and I don't think they even knew that I knew what was happening, but a handful of kids confronting a friend on his life and leading him towards, not salvation, but leading him towards leaving what lies behind and pressing on and encouraging him to step into the life that we have in Christ, the freedom that comes with that. And I just loved it. I love the idea that teenagers see something in their friend and love him enough to say, you've got to come where we are. You've got to follow us to Jesus. And that was super encouraging.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want to say, having been called out now, honestly, that if I learned anything this weekend, it's how Jonathan and I are like so not in control of what God does on winter retreat, even though we think we would like to be. We really do. And we stress about, you know, if things are going to go right. And just to share briefly, because I feel like God showed up here, not to, you know, just talk about the drama, but we had a real struggle in the music portion of planning for winter retreat because there's life and there are a lot of circumstances. And I just believe Satan didn't want us to go on winter retreat this year. So we didn't really have a full band. And we, you know, went from last year where I could call some people out, but I won't. But we had like the rock stars last year. And all the kids were like, this is the best worship ever. And so this year it's like me and Jonathan. And we're like going, oh my goodness, like this is not going to be okay. We're not going to be okay. And then we had, you know, no drums, which I don't know how, if y'all, drums are real important. They're real important, Jeff. And so we get there the first night. Jonathan already alluded to this. There was no soundboard, no sound. So we already have not a band, and now we have no sound. And God just showed us, and we were wearing these T-shirts really boldly that say, flip your thinking. And God showed us like, hey, flip your thinking. Worship doesn't happen because there's a band or because there's a sound system. And for me, it was hard to kind of keep it together because we stood on the floor and we played a guitar with no sound system. And the kids worshiped. I mean, and they so much that they were scurrying. The people that owned the camp were trying to fix that sound system. And they actually told us later, we fixed it. And we didn't even want to tell you we fixed it because we just wanted to see, like, we were so encouraged by how those students worshiped. And I just think that God was showing us, you know, it's not in your power. None of this is in your power. It's just the power of God at work in the lives of us and the lives of the students, teaching us all the time. And then there were a couple of opportunities over the weekend where God actually provided a teenaged boy who lives there on the campus, who's a phenomenal drummer, and God provided us the drums when we needed the drums, you know, and when we didn't have to have them, when God's like, no, you know, just pour your heart out to me. That is enough. That's what God gave us. And I think for me, I walked away learning like God does provide, and it is absolutely nothing we do. I mean, we can print all the booklets and plan all the plans, but God, you know, God sets our path. God has a plan.
To say we had no band, no offense to Caleb and to Andrew and to Matt, who were also there playing with us. Yeah, no. It's one of those where you say, hey, no offense, I'm really about to offend you, but no. No, we tend to think that God's provision comes through like him parting the seas and providing the road, and that's absolutely part of his provision, but he also leads us right up to that dead end that looks like, man, like, you brought us here. Like, what are you going to do? Like, there's nothing you can do. You brought us out here to die, which we may have said that this weekend a couple times, but we forget that that's part of God's leading. That's part of God's provision. That's part of God's calling. So, yeah, thank you. Yep.
About 10, maybe 15 years ago, we did not have a college career group. Now, I don't know if we really have a college career group or not, but these young men and women who have grown up in our youth are now the leaders that showed up this weekend. They show up Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings to teach our youth. You guys who have taught them, I think their current leaders are Todd and Jesse, but other people have been involved with their education and their faith and their growth there. Thank you for that. They are awesome. It was wonderful to see how they grew this weekend. And they led. They didn't just watch us old folks do it. They were the leaders. And I thank you all.
So one of the points Jonathan talked about, I think it was on Saturday, was living a life worthy, living in a manner worthy of, yeah, that. It's so easy to like say that and say I'm going to, but it's so hard to like commit to, and it's so hard to do because we can't really do it alone, but we can strive to do so. And over the weekend, I saw pretty much everyone here just striving to live for God, just in the way they encouraged everyone and the way they worshipped and the way they talked in small groups, and it was just really cool and really encouraging. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're blown away. It's funny, we're blown away every year because when we do our share time on Sunday night, and just several people just say, I just really feel close to God. I just really feel his presence here. And we're amazed every year that somehow getting rid of every distraction, getting rid of every negative influence, and focusing on God's word, prayer, worship, and being together in a group of like-minded people somehow leads us to the presence of God. But it's funny. We do it as adults. We forget that. We forget that we need this. We need this constant encouragement to live in a manner worthy of the gospel.
Okay, y'all should have seen our, like, younger kids, because it was so incredible seeing them encourage others. And I had Miguel and Aubrey in my small group, and just seeing the way that they, like, loved everyone else and just their love and devotion for God throughout the weekend was so incredible. And, like, watching, you know, the slideshow and everything, there was a picture of Miguel, like, praising God. That was so incredible to see. And also, like, Aubrey, throughout the whole weekend, we have the mailboxes, I don't know if y'all know that, where we can write notes and stuff to each other. And throughout the whole weekend, Aubrey was just writing notes. And she wrote a note to every single person on the retreat, all the leaders, all the students. And they were, like, they were long, and they were personalized. And it was incredible. And that takes so much time. And, you know, we've got a few hours of free time, so she took all of her free time to just encourage others, and it was so incredible to see, and it was encouraging for me. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Hi, I was not expecting myself to speak, but I felt like God wanted me to. It's crazy how God can change people's lives, because especially Miguel, Abby, and my friend Jen. On Sunday night when Miguel got up, I started crying so much, because it's a really big part with God's presence being with him. And then with Abigail, she's very quiet and introverted with a lot of people, but I've been hearing that she's been praying and talking in her groups, and that just means so much to me. And then with Jen, I brought her to church on Wednesdays pretty much since school started, and she barely knew everyone. And when I brought her to winter retreat, she told me that when she opened up her mailboxes, her mailbox was all filled up, and I just loved how everybody here just gave her all that love. And then it's just amazing.
If you guys didn't catch that, yeah. Well, I know you're going to take a while, so I'll give you this. But the mailboxes, they have mailboxes there on camp, and a few years ago we took just basically name cards or name tags, and we each make a name, put a claim a mailbox, and that's just a tool we use through the week and to write letters of encouragement like that. And it's awesome to see these kids just step up and take advantage of that. So,
okay, so believe it or not, I hate public speaking, so this might be really rough. But so I was kind of deciding, like, between five things to share. I couldn't decide what. So I kind of just wanted to share. So I got to the retreat late, like 2 days late. But God still, like, really taught me a lot through it. And on the last night, you're encouraged to stand up and just show what God taught you through retreat or what you learned. And it was just really, really encouraging and cool to see all these people who are so shy and introverted, and people who normally would probably never public speak or, like, just never put themselves out there, and then just stand up and, like, be in tears expressing how they've seen God in their lives. And, like, I don't want to take off anybody, but somebody was sharing today in small groups how they just learned that they found their confidence in Christ and how that can just overcome everything. And if we just find our confidence in him, we shouldn't be worried or anxious about anything. And so it was really cool to see that in the lives of these people shared.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to cut anybody off like I did Sunday night. I'm not going to call out any names, Kanan, but I heard you wanted to share. Do you want to do that here? All right, here we go. I was not expecting that. I was giving you a hard time.
Throughout the weekend, God gave me the courage to talk to other people, and I really haven't. Like, it's been hard for me to do that, and God just really helped me with that and gave me the courage to do that. So that's what I was going to say.
Thank you, Bob. It was really cool to even get back to what Sarah said just about our younger students. Every time we'd go to lunch or we'd go to breakfast or dinner, they would ask somebody to pray. And it was always like our middle school students stepping up and volunteering to pray. And then one night, I was bunking in the center room of the middle school guys, and we're going to bed. And one side, Les and Tim are sleeping under the bunks on the middle school groups, guys, and so those guys were like, lights out, at lights out, and they're asleep. And then Matt and I kind of were responsible for the other side, and these guys were goofy, you know, up late, and it's not uncommon to see flashlights and all this stuff and hear chatter, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna have to go shut this down. It's like midnight, and I start walking over there, and these guys are on top of the bunk Saturday night doing Bible study. And I was like, yeah, I mean, at first I was like, well, you guys don't even want to do this during the day when we're supposed to do it, but no. But it was just so cool just to see, I think them seeing in the leadership above them with the high school students and the high school students to the leaders, that being something important to them, and it was important to these guys where they were going through the questions and just discussing, because they're each in different groups, and they're saying, hey, what'd you guys talk about? And just looking into Scripture, it was very encouraging. So if there's no one, anyone else? Bill wants to share.
This will be the last call. Anybody else? Well, I did want to say, one more? Okay, why does this surprise me? I think Cash has got a boldness God has given him. Here you go.
So going to winter retreat is like recharging your spiritual batteries. And something that was really cool is like my main takeaway from this week is having patience with God. And something that was really cool was small groups was really only supposed to last like an hour and a half. And a lot of them, like a lot of the small groups were lasting almost 2 hours. And that was really cool. And, the amount of encouragement that people would get through mailboxes on winter retreat is just so cool, and it's really awesome to know that people are out there encouraging others, and yeah, I just thought that was pretty cool.
Well, it was. There's a lot of really, really cool things that happened there. One of the things that I really was struck by is I asked several of the kids as I was around, I said, well, what's your favorite part of winter retreat? And I was surprised how many of them said our devotions. That was their favorite part, was to have quiet. I remember the first, I didn't come up Friday night because I'm getting older. I came up Saturday morning early, too early for me being old, but I came in there and they had already been doing their devotions, and the place was just filled with kids doing them. And I sat there and I read my Bible and you know, it was another 30 minutes or so before people left. And I remember when we started where it was tough for them to sit for 30 minutes to do a devotion. And now we got an hour blocked out and it's their favorite time. That's growth. And the director, he also came up to me on Sunday night. And he said, man, your kids, he said, you know, we have lots of groups come through here. And usually the counselors are trying to keep them apart from, you know, drama that's happening and stuff like that. He said, your kids, this is different. You're making disciples. He said, I'm living underneath right now because they didn't have a house. He's living underneath the chapel. He says, you guys will have worship and you'll break into groups. And he says, those kids are in there for 2 hours. And then they're doing their, that's what gives them the power to love each other. That's what gives them the power to see each other. That's what gives them the power to really care what's happening in each other's life, because they are seeing how much God loves them. And that's the key to it. And I'm grateful for, you know, Jonathan was a youth and now a youth leader, now he's the youth pastor. And that's the way it ought to be. We ought to be making disciples. And these kids are becoming disciplined followers of God, and that's an important thing. And we had a couple of, I mean, they wanted to give you and Monica something because of all the work that you've done, so I'll let Michael and I forgot who else is carrying the other thing. Who? Lisa. Asa, that's right, Asa, okay. Now, I thought Asa was coming up with Michael when I saw him go up. That's the one I'm talking about. Okay. But go ahead, Michael. Oh, here.
I was supposed to say something? Oh, I guess I can. Well, I wasn't planning on that. Well, just thank you, Jonathan, for all the hard work you like you do for this whole youth group. I know everybody here obviously appreciates your the work and effort you put in to all this. I guess it's a big thank you. Thanks, gotta get some flowers over there. Yeah.
I see you did pretty good there, Michael. I think that's the other thing that's interesting is usually when people think about ministry, they think about somebody who's charismatic and who can, you know, just can do some great thing, and they look for some kind of event. But really, discipleship is slow, everyday plodding and consistent faithfulness to God. And it's done by ordinary people. And that's what's important. And I think one of the differences in our youth group and when we go to camp that they see the difference is we're not even trying to do some big thing to get somebody emotionally to make some kind of commitment. We want to help people consistently live day by day. And it's great if you have an emotional impact, but that's not what it's about. It's about the daily thing. So